The Lights, Camera, Austin interview.
Joining me now on Lights, Camera, Austin to discuss their South by Southwest film, Tomorrow's Hope, The Promise of Early Childhood Education, our producer, Tamara Raven, and composer and co-producer, Aaron Steinberg. Tamara, thanks very much for joining me today on Lights, Camera, Austin to discuss Tomorrow's Hope. How are you doing today?
So great. Thank you so much for having us. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, Tamara. And Aaron, thanks very much for joining me today on Lights, Camera, Austin to discuss Tomorrow's Hope. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Robert. Thank you so much for making a little time to talk with us about the film.
Well, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it. And Tomorrow's Hope, The Promise of Early Childhood Education, focuses on the early childhood education program developed and taught at Educare Chicago. This was initiated by the Ounce of Prevention Fund, now known, I believe, as Start Early. As the national program, Educare Learning Network has not sort of spread to Austin yet or Texas, can you sort of describe what Educare Chicago is and the program it offers to the preschoolers it serves?
Go ahead, Aaron, go for it.
Educare is not just a preschool, but what's called a birth to five school. It started in Chicago and then it spread out to about 25 locations across the country. And it's not just what you might expect at a preschool typically, but it includes bringing the parents along for the ride and helping them learn to be advocates for their kids, and also taking the approach that the social-emotional learning is so foundational that it makes the academic learning possible in a way that many people may not completely realize. And that philosophy is probably a cornerstone of what we think of today as high quality early education. And the feeling is it makes a lasting, lingering difference in the way the kids do in school and the way they feel about the world around them, and that they can find success in the world around them, hopefully, feel more confident.
And much of the history of the Educare Center is covered in the documentary Tomorrow's Hope. But in a nutshell, just sort of kind of briefly explain what led to the creation of the center and its importance to the community it served then and serves now. I mean, this is it started as this birthed a 5-year-old center on Chicago's South Side, where the Robert Taylor homes used to be housed. There were 30,000 families there at one point, but that housing project has since been demolished.
So it's a community that, as you just mentioned, it was a stressed and underserved area with a large number of people living in poverty. And many of the residents lived in the Robert Taylor homes in the 1990s, the time it was one of the largest public housing complex in the nation. And at the same time, it was one of the poorest census tracts in America. So as you said, it was like about 26,000 people, about 8 square blocks piled up on top of each other. So there's a lot of high level of violence, and Portia and Brenda were not gonna give up on this community. They're featured in our film, and AKA my heroes. They saw hope and possibility, and they believed in so much that the power of early education get these kids out of poverty and give them a chance to really make a name for themselves. And they gave the gift that each child that went to this early childhood education, which was called back then a Beethoven project, that they mattered. That was their gift to each child, that you mattered.
Tamara, you had mentioned Portia Kennell. She is the former Ounce VP of Program and Innovation. And in the documentary, she does state that the initial Beethoven project was to leverage education to get families out of extreme poverty. You know, given that the documentary covers the first class Educare Chicago, I'm kind of curious, how that goal has currently been achieved, given that you have, you know, one class that has now graduated from high school.
Yes. Well, what's an exciting statistic, and I hope this isn't too much of a spoiler. Mm-hmm. Forget you heard this, friends. But the three teenagers we follow in the film, their entire preschool class all graduated high school, 100% of this particular class. So in this area, that's not necessarily a foregone conclusion. So that's just one way we can look at it. But throughout the film, the three kids talk about how they feel that the preschool experience was foundational for them in how, and in fact, in how they communicate with the world around them, how they navigate the world around them. It gave them a sense, as Tamara just said, you matter.
Mm-hmm. So in that case, Tamara and Aaron, I'm kind of curious, like, what familiarity did you have with the Educare Center before you started the documentary Tomorrow's Hope, as well as its history and deep roots in the community it serves?
I'm a filmmaker myself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get called to do something, and I was called by the Saul Zanz Foundation, and they wanted to make a documentary about this incredible school. I have a background in doing social documentaries, and this just aligned with who I am and what I love to do, which is, shine a spotlight on social injustice and also show that there is hope and there is promise. So this was a gift to me, and I brought along some amazing people. There was the incredible producer and Chicago native Trevor Hall, and then he brought a director, Thomas Morgan, and then next the cinematographer, Doug Clevenger, and then we brought on Aaron, of course, who's here. And we've also, so he became also co-producer because we had so many archival footage issues for an area that didn't have much footage. And then also it was the 1990s, and some of the people who shot it were no longer with us. So that was a wonderful challenge that Aaron rose to help with. Then we also had amazing editor Oren Castro-Micho. It takes a team of people, it takes a village to raise a kid, takes a village of people to make a film. Mm-hmm. And so I was grateful to be part of this journey.
So, but was it a case that you were coming in new to the subject?
Completely new to the subject. I mean, I had a child that went through preschool. I paid a lot of money for this child to go to preschool because I knew it was important. That was the first 5 years were really important. That's where 80% of the brain is developed. And I knew that. And I knew that I was one of the lucky ones that had the money, or at least I had a credit card to make it happen. And then, so when I was learned about this program, I really meant a lot to me that I wanted the education would be in an area that didn't have the resources, but they made sure that every child got to go and without having to pay, and that they were fed, and that there were resources for the parents. I mean, this was to me incredible. And I was like, how do we duplicate this and celebrate this?
Mm-hmm. And Aaron, go ahead.
I just wanted to add that when Tamara talked about brain development at that age, I think a lot of people don't realize that at no other point in your life does your brain do as much developing as it does between birth and five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, Aaron, were you kind of new to EduCK yourself as well when you came on board?
I was indeed. It was a real eye-opener. Obviously, these are issues that are in the news cycle and they're hot topics in the news cycle, but when you experience it through the lives of these people, it really changes your perspective. It makes it feel real in a way, in a really interesting and lasting way, I think.
Mm-hmm. So Tamara and Aaron, when you were brought in to do Tomorrow's Hope, was this a case of always being pegged to the fact that the first class at EduCare Chicago was about to graduate high school? Was that sort of the hook there?
Yeah, that was the hope. That was the goal, was to showcase this first class from EduCare from the year 2000 and then to present day. And that was what our goal was to do, was to show that they all accomplished going through the whole educational system.
And it was a nice hook. It was kind of a nice hook, you know, a thematic little nugget to use as a framework to tell the story.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the three students that you do focus on in Tomorrow's Hope, and that's Jamal, Crystal, and Jalen. I'm kind of curious, why did you decide that you wanted to shine a spotlight on them? Was it a case that you had interviewed some of the other students in that particular class, like class of 2000, and just figured that their stories were sort of the most compelling, or did you sort of interview all those students and these were the three that stood out the most to you?
Mixture of both of that. It was timing, availability, these amazing three kids that we met, and they're willing to be open and allow us to really follow them, connect with them. They were really special to us, and we decided to just go for it and film those three, and we're really lucky we did. So,
and Jamal, Crystal, and Jalen, they each have their own specific stories. I'm very curious, and you know, I don't want to give too much away about it, But they do come from sort of, they had some hard times in terms of sort of what they've experienced, what their parents have experienced. I'm curious, you know, what sense did you take away from your interviews with them that had they not had the opportunity presented to them at Educare Chicago, you know, would they be in the position they are in today where, you know, they are now all at university pursuing, you know, the career paths that they want to take?
It would be hard to give an absolute answer to that, but I think they feel that it made a difference for them. And I think their families would say that it made a really important difference for them. And so in a way we follow their lead. Mm-hmm. It might be presumptuous to say, well, they never would have graduated high school without it. We can't say that, but we can lean on what they feel and what their parents feel. And as well as Jackie Robinson, who's been with them the whole time, who you meet in the film too, would say. So the film's approach is not to hit you over the head and say it's absolutely this way, but rather to bring you along for the ride and allow you to make your own conclusions. I would say if you're not moved by their stories, there might be something wrong with you. But we want you to kind of draw your own conclusions on that. So giving an absolute answer is something we'd be reluctant to do.
So Tamara and Aaron, in that case, I'm sort of curious, you know, how many students were in that class of 2000 and, you know, just how many have actually followed, you know, Jamal and Crystal's and Jalen's lead to college?
I think it is 12, Aaron. I think it was 12 and they all went to college or some kind of vocational college. It was a small first class, and that was the first one I did at across the street, what would have been Robert Taylor Homes. So again, at first it was called the Beethoven Project, which they were inside Robert Taylor Homes. And when they were knocked down, they renamed it and moved it across the street because they're dedicated to the kids that are already there. And it was called Educare.
Tamara and Aaron, as Jamal's, one of Jamal's parents says, this is in regards to Educare Chicago, this is actually not only this is actually engaging not only students but parents as to how to be with your child at home, which kind of feeds into what Portia Kennell, formerly with Ounce, says. We know that parents are critical factors in learning and succeeding. Just in base of your observations being at Educare Chicago, can you talk a little bit about sort of how the parents are involved? And how you see them being engaged, not just with the teachers, but also with not just with the students, but also with teachers and staff there, so that, that it does create a community.
Well, there's a great sequence in the film, which I'll only give away part of. So Brenda talks about the process of doing that.
Sorry, who is Brenda?
I'm so sorry. So Brenda is one of the administrators and designers of the program. And she was there at the Beethoven Project early on and continued with Educare. And so their philosophy is they know they're going to get some hesitance at first, you know, so that it's a slow process of bringing the parents in. You know, it's a slow process. Hey, come to this event, come to that event, hang out. Can you help us with this? So it takes time. And she says there's almost a tipping point where sort of a light goes off and then they're in. And they take that with them. The fact that they can be connected to their kids' education, not just in preschool, but beyond and throughout.
I think that's the biggest gift is they know that they only get in from birth to five. So how do you involve the parents so that they become the advocates for their kids moving forward? And that's, they need them to start fighting for them and making sure they get through all the way through the education system. What is also remarkable, you said mentioned earlier, is that Educare also does keep track of the kids. And so that's a unique way of making sure every kid is making sure that they're still on track and has the support they need. So,
Tamara and Aaron, it's noted that in the documentary Tomorrow's Hope that you know there is a hope that what happens in Chicago happens elsewhere, and I know that they've created this network of schools. Can you talk a little bit about that expansion and sort of what cities they're in and what good they are currently doing right now?
let's see, I'll have to look at the list to tell you the exact thing, but the nearest one here is in, we're calling, talking to you from Los Angeles, and they are here in Long Beach, which is pretty close, and there's 26 of them, but or 25. I think the most important thing, though, is it's not just about EduCare. It's about the broader points. It's not that, hey, everyone, you have to send your kids to EduCare. That's not the point. The point is that every kid deserves this chance. Every family deserves this chance. And these stories are examples of how it can make a difference and why we should, as a society, pursue these opportunities for all our kids. So it's not that you have to go to EduCare, but if you're a parent, you should hope to get your child into a high quality preschool program. And the science and the studies and the statistics, if you want to get analytical, really do support that.
Mm-hmm. And so Tamara and Aaron, given that you will be at South By, you're probably going to be talking more to educators than parents. I'm kind of curious, what ultimately is the message that you hope tomorrow's hope imparts to that audience?
We hope that in part that they will want to use it to support their efforts. So maybe they'll want to host screenings. Maybe they'll want to bring the personalities in the film along with events they're doing. It's a humanistic approach. It makes you feel, it makes you care. And too much of the available materials, possibly in education, is very analytical, very academic. So we hope this gives them something to use that's emotional and has a wide appeal. In a more humanistic, in a less complicated way, in a more emotional way, in a more fun and engaging, entertaining way. That's one of our hopes. Wouldn't you say, Tamara?
As we said before, you know, this is very timely and we're debating early childhood education right now. So I want people to walk away from this film feeling hopeful and encouraged that we can do it, that we can give every child a great start, and that we can make it a priority. And I hope this film will inspire others to want to help push along the politicians to make it happen.
And it's not just about the education, it's also about building a community and knowing the community you're serving as well.
Correct. I mean, we really should be calling it, instead of a school, a community. Mm-hmm. It is really connecting all the dots that make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, I want to ask you this question because one of the subjects in Tomorrow's Hope, I believe it's Jamal. I think he's studying music. He's studying, I believe, music engineering. You composed the music for Tomorrow's Hope. So, you know, bearing that in mind, can you talk a little bit about the mindset that you had when you came to composing music for the documentary?
Absolutely. Well, it was so fun and engaging to do as a composer, and it needed something different. First of all, because Jamal and his father, Jamie Poindexter, appear in the film in their drumline group, Chaotic Drumline, that absolutely had to be part of the fabric of the musical score. And you'll see that there's on-screen performances from them, but in the underscore it appears also. So that was definitely a part of the fabric to work with. Secondly, I brought in my buddy Vashon Johnson to play upright bass. We've played together a bunch and written together a bunch, and he is from Chicago. And I felt like the upright bass, played by the Chicago native Vashon, was going to add something. There's something about the upright bass that has a playfulness and an earthiness and an honesty and organicness that this film needed. It's about children. It's about being genuine. It's about being open. It's about being organic and straightforward and simple. And so that texture was important. Of course, there's other elements too. I mean, you have beats and loops and all kinds of other stuff, as well as atmospheric stuff to underscore the tension and the struggle and the pain. So as a music composer, it was a chance to draw on every corner of the stuff that I work with, every approach. We also got a chance to create an original song with my band Captain Danger, and also featuring the vocals of India Carney, a friend of ours who's originally from New York, and I knew that she would bring a great texture to the song. So it was just such a fun adventure for a music composer, and I hope that other music composers out there get a chance to work on such a cool project.
So Tamara, I'm going to ask you the last question in that case, because, you know, as I mentioned, Tomorrow's Hope will screen March 7th during South by Southwest EUD at the Austin Convention Center. And I'm curious, what happens next with the Tomorrow's Hope? If somebody is unable to attend, whether they're a parent or an educator, how will they be able to see the film after its South by screening?
They can go to tomorrowshopefilm.com. And we will offer them a screening whenever they need it. Mm-hmm. We want to make this available to anybody and everywhere. So please come to our website, tomorrowshopefilm.com.
Terrific.
And also, actually, it's playing mm-hmm. in Chicago at the Music Box. So I'm playing there for a couple months now. Mm-hmm. But if you want to see it through their venue, we have an extended film that we put up there as well.
Mm-hmm. Tamara and Aaron, I'm going to ask you one last question each. So what are you working on next now that Tomorrow's Hope is playing South By, it is playing in Chicago, it is available on the website. What are you currently working on now?
Well, one cool thing we got, Tamara and I got to do together mm-hmm. is with the Drumline, Chaotic Drumline, who appears in Tomorrow's Hope, we've since made a short film about them. Mm-hmm. Called Drumming with a Difference, Chaotic Drumline Drumming with a Difference. And that is making the rounds of film festivals and doing pretty well. So doing a film that was just on them, that was really fun too, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, it was an incredible experience to do during COVID as well. And we also hope to make some shorter bite-sized pieces on educators and parents, try to help move this topic and subject along.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tamara and Aaron, thank you very much for joining me today on Lights, Camera, Austin to discuss Tomorrow's Hope. Good luck when the documentary screens during South By.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.